is a handout sheet in your bulletin, and it really looks scary. It's one of those scary handout sheets. It's one of those handout sheets that you think, come on now. But if you look at it, you're going to see there's not a whole lot of blanks to fill in. There's a lot of information there. And what sometimes I do that because the reason that I give you a handout sheet is not to necessarily keep your attention through the message. It's when you go home, if you open your Bible and you say, okay, now I want to just think a little bit about what the pastor said today. And so you have these other verses. And so a lot of times those other verses are used to help you with a little bit further study. And that's pretty much what I did and to this one. But we're talking about growing as a believer. And it seems as though January has gone so fast. Usually January just goes so slow to me. At the end of January, I'm about dead. And you think, oh. But you realize it is the first Sunday in February, and I'm still talking about New Year's challenge. But New Year's seemed so long ago, didn't it? It's like, wow. And and then especially when you get these nice days, I leave the office and it's, get in the vehicle, and I finally got vehicles that tell me actually how cold it is outside, and here it is 47, 45, 50, 55, and you think, it can't be January, it can't be February. And so I got in mine the other day, it was 9, and I said, yep, it's February. So, and those things will happen. But as you and I are considering growing, first of all, the other week we talked about, notice this in verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us, and here's these words again, we find in Scripture over and over, all things. And in this particular case, I do have this on, don't I? This is on? I didn't know if I turned it on or not. In this particular case, it's all things that pertain unto life and godliness, that I might grow and mature in Christ. We looked and we saw that that growing process is illustrated over and over and over in Scripture. Peter says earlier, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word thereby, that you may grow. And so we realize when we get saved, the Bible likens us to an infant. And from there, we understand that process over and over and over. Every one of us. We celebrated Nancy Gelnett's life this week. And it is always so interesting. They put together this wonderful video of her life. Oh my. I got it from Bethany at the viewing, and I came in early, and believe it or not, I figured out how to work all this stuff. Kidding me? I am a genius. Huh? Right? That's neat, huh? Didn't have to call anybody. I'm sitting there, and it was I'll show you what it did. I watch this. Do you realize if you miss that step, you're not doing anything? And that's what I did. I'm sitting there and I'm handing up and I'm going, okay, nothing. Okay, nothing. And then I looked on the front and I said, and then I get that. I go, look at that. And there it was. And it's just like, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I sat there and I watched that. And I just cried. It was so wonderful. Tears of sorrow, but tears of joy. Why? Because you saw her as a young lady, a teenager, a little girl. And you know what? That's all of our lives. We're going to grow. And then we grow up and we have families. And I thought the neatest picture was her sitting next to her little boy, Paul, just sitting there so cute. And of course, I had to remind Paul of that. And he gets his big old smile on his face. And it was a wonderful time. But it reminded me of this. The last week, somebody posted a picture of me when I was 12 years old on Facebook. I haven't seen that picture for years. A sweater that I had that I really liked. And I looked at that picture and said, that don't even look like me. Because I'm this old, wrinkled-up guy now. How can I look like that? But I did. And it was incredible because it was a girl taking the picture, and two other girls had their arms around me, just like, 12 years old. It's like, whoo! Yeah! I'm sorry, honey. Rachel, let him go. Let him go. But we're reminded that we haven't stayed back there, have we? We've grown. We've learned. And here we are in life, and life is learning. The Christian life models that over and over and over. Here we are as Christians. What are we doing? Growing. What are we growing? In the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We're growing in that sanctification process, that process of learning in our lives. And you say, well, and we're going to look at some things today, but it's not only about, well, let's just jump to the message. I'll get there. So number one, the power to live a holy life comes, as Peter is writing here, the power to live a holy life comes through knowing God. Notice this passage that we're talking about here. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us. Just as his divine power is the source of holiness. Now notice this. Just as his divine power is the source of holiness, so the knowledge of him is the channel. That's the next bullet on there. I find that absolutely incredible. His divine power is the source of holiness. It is his power in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. The power of God comes in. You, and here's the thing. You can't change on willpower. You know, we think, okay, I got to do this, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. Willpower can be very strong, but we are talking about the kind of change in our life where we are dead in trespasses and alive in Christ. The Bible says that we are a new creation. We're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And that power flowing through us. Paul wrote to the church of Philippi, notice this, where he says, I think it's in chapter 3, where it says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Knowing him and the power is linked together. Notice this. The power to live a holy life comes through knowing God. Just as his divine power is the source of holiness, so the knowledge of him now is the channel. You have that source, but it needs to be channeled into your life. It needs to be channeled into my life. And it's all about knowing him. So my question to you today is this. It's very simple. Do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know him, first of all, as Savior? I'm not talking about do you know about him, but do you know him? Have you received him as your Lord and Savior? Have you come to the point in your life where you realize that you were a sinner separated from God and you've realized that he was the only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you received him? That's called knowing him. And so the knowledge of him is the channel. Now the power comes into your life. He doesn't leave us powerless. No, notice this. And I talked about this. I think I talked about this in prayer meeting. And the Bible says, I should have this. I should have my Bible memorized more, but I don't. I'm sorry. It says this. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not ourselves. And so what God does, notice this, here we are likened in some aspects to infants growing. In another passage, here we are likened to a clay pot, an earthen vessel. Earthen vessels were not impressive, but you know what is most impressive? It is the power of God, and God wants to be glorified in our life rather than us taking the glory from him. To know him is eternal life. John 17:3. Do you know what that says? Listen to this. Well, turn there. A very interesting passage. A lot of times people They struggle sometimes. Well, you know, what really is eternal life? You say, well, you know, I prayed a prayer and I'm going to heaven. Well, I have to admit, when I got saved, I cried out to God. That would be prayer, wouldn't it? Amen? And I prayed and I asked, I went to God and admitted to Him that I was a sinner. That wasn't really hard to do because I was pretty well exposed. And then I prayed and I trusted Christ. And a lot of times we think, okay, eternal life, I prayed. Eternal life, I prayed. Look what John 17:3 says. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Isn't that a wonderful thing to think about? Life eternal is knowing Christ. And so I got to ask you again today, do you know Him? Do you know Him? You know, there's many people, let me back up and say it to this way. There are people who, when they go through the process of understanding their sinfulness, and they want to get to heaven so bad that they really miss the whole idea about who Christ is. And I said, well, you know, I just got to be better. I just have to do this. Call that a work salvation. You talk to people. I just got to do a lot of good. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I know you've heard this over and over, and I know this is so basic and elementary, but that's okay. You can't be good enough to have a right relationship with God. I can't be good enough to have a right relationship with God. I need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. We got to say that every once in a while. We got to think that once in a while. You know why? Because if not, we get to thinking like this. Well, I'm a pretty good guy. Oh, yeah. Well, I go to church. Look. I go past an awful lot of sinners today. They didn't go to church. I did. Oh, I'm pretty good. I'm going to go to the restaurant today. I was in church way with you. Right? See, we get to feeling pretty good about ourselves sometimes. Well, you know what? That guy run me off. There was a guy last night. I'll tell you what. I found out in New York they're just as crazy as they are here. Oh, yeah. There's this lady driving down the road. Four ways on in the passing lane. No, I'm sorry, in the right-hand lane. I drove by, and I always got to do this. Don't you do that? Do you do that? You drive by because you want to think, maybe she's foaming at the mouth. I don't know. Maybe she broke her arm. I don't know. So I'm going down through there, and next thing I know, what happened? Four ways are off. She's driving like she's nuts. I'm thinking, these people are crazy. But see, I'm not crazy. I got over that. I quit driving with four ways on. I stop and look for stuff now instead of driving down the road. Oh, where's that street address? Driving 5 miles an hour down at 50 miles an hour. But see, some of the times we get to thinking we're pretty good people. Oh, yeah. So anyway, the better we get to know Him, watch this, the more we become like Him. That's this process. Are you getting to know Him better? See, if we're not careful, church and spiritual things becomes an activity just like going to the store, just like going on vacation, just like, well, you know what, I belong to this group. And it's okay to belong to groups, okay? Right? Amen? Isn't that great? Church is not anything like that. This church is not an organization. This is a living organism. Amen? We are a part of the body of Christ. And what we're doing is we're growing up together. And we're growing and getting to know Him. Now, I want you to get to know me. Well, at least part of me. Right? See, if I ever throw anybody down the steps, I don't want you to know that. Say, I can't believe he said that. Well, I hope I never throw anybody down the steps. Oh, little Blake. He was at the house this week. He fell down the cellar steps. Oh, man, I'll tell you what. You want to have your heart just go, I hear this commotion, I hear him bawling, I run over, he's picking himself up, and he's a big fella. He's a striver. Man, Grandpa just put his arms around me, and I hold him, and he's like, oh, holding his chest. I said, what, man, but pushing somebody down steps. Well, I didn't push him down the steps, okay? So, the more we get to know him, the more we become like him. As you study the Bible, are you seeing Jesus? Sometimes as we try to practice regular devotions in our life, the devotions become the end, and change is just something that might happen just in case. But really, when it comes down to it, rather than say, okay, I satisfied something in my mind, are we getting to know Christ better? Because watch this. I've not said this for a while. It is when I know God, it is when I know Christ, it is only then that I can really ever know myself in that context. That's what it comes down to. If I'm going to have a proper view of myself, it comes from knowing God. Number two is this. He has called us unto himself by showing us his glory and virtue. So as we're talking about these provisions, the power to live a holy life, he's called us to himself by showing his glory and his virtue. I want you to see here the end of verse 3. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. The last reference means that he called us by revealing to us the wonders of his person. And so this call is based on the sinner's understanding of Christ's revealed majesty, his moral excellence, evidencing that he is Lord and Savior. And what this is talking about, when we talk about the idea that he showed us his glory and virtue, you realize this, in John chapter 1, a verse that we all know by heart, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, right? Do you know what the rest of that says? And we beheld his what? Glory as of the Father, full of grace and truth. As Christ comes to this earth, as God becomes flesh, what do we say? We just say he's a nice man. We see his glory. We see that he is full of grace and truth. Now the Pharisees didn't see that. But Peter saw that. Andrew saw that. The disciples saw that. Zacchaeus come out of the tree. He saw that. Amen? And what happened? Changed their life. And they see his virtue and his glory. And this implies now, watch this. This implies that there must be a clear presentation of Christ's person and work as the God-man in our evangelism. This is what attracts people to salvation. See, a lot of times, the church does this. Watch this. Well, how can we reach our neighborhood? Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what we're going to do. Pastor, I want you to just start wearing a polo shirt. Those polo shirts, just something with a collar. And then we're gonna put a chair out here. Because we want them to feel comfortable. Oh, that feels so nice. And so what do? Now, I will say this, and I hope this never happens. If I ever have knee surgery, I don't want to take all that time off. I'll probably sit here in the thing and preach, and I'll have Mike turn the pages for me, and I'll have Larry hold the thing, and then I'll get Donnie here, and he'll hold a little cup with the thing, and I'll take a drink, right? We'll do all that. That'd be neat. Wouldn't that be neat? Oh, man. But see, what happens is this. Evangelism today is we think, how can we become attractive to the world? And the Bible says the exact opposite. We've got to show them who Jesus is. We got to show them that Jesus came. Jesus came because they're sinners and they're on their way to hell. People say, well, you must think you're pretty good. No, I had to come to a realization that I was a sinner on my way to hell. And I'm so thankful for Jesus. Aren't you today? It's not about me. It's about him. If it wasn't for him, I'd be lost. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be in church today. If it wasn't for him, I'd probably be in jail. Picked up on work release like I picked my brother up to come here. I said that to him last night. I was up there. I said, oh, I brought two guys with me. Terry Whelan goes to my church, but my brother Richard's here. And I said, I hope he doesn't get in trouble because he's supposed to be on work release. I picked him up. I think they like that part. Now watch this. And now you notice here, in provisions for the believer, do you realize the wonderful teaching that's here? Because we are going to be tempted to try other things to get people to bring them to Jesus. When all those things actually do is just hamper bringing people to Jesus. Now, you know, I don't know if I'm really in favor of standing down here in the park on a nice day, how or not. You're all wicked sinners! You need to get saved! I don't know. I'm probably not that boisterous. Right? You know, or walk downtown with a sign, the end is near. The end is near. You know, the end is near. No, I think what we need to do is realize this, is that if you and I are going to have an impact in people's lives, Jesus must be front and center, first of all, in our life. We have got to be in the process of knowing him and loving him. In a little article I wrote in the newsletter for this month, I talked in there, and I wanted to remind myself, as remind you, is that it can become very easy for us to lose our first love, because our first love is Jesus and what he's done for us personally. And we can do everything right, and we can get to the point where we do everything right and do it for the wrong reasons, because that's what Jesus said about the church at Ephesus, recorded for us in Revelation chapter 2. He said, you know what, you've examined people and you've seen that they were heretics. You have done this, you have done that, and you know what, I have somewhat against you because you've left your first love. I don't want that to be said about you and me and myself. And so we have to realize this, is that as we present Christ and Christ's person and work in evangelism, this is used to attract men to salvation. The cross and resurrection most clearly reveal his glory and virtue. So that's number two. And knowing God. Now, as we come into this, we go into the nuts and bolts of this a little bit. In verse 4, we're introduced. And it's interesting, as Peter's writing here, number 3, knowing God comes by understanding his word. Look how verse 4 starts, whereby. Okay, he's just got done talking about, he's given us all things that pertain in life and godliness. Talked about the knowledge of him, and we see that that he has called us to his glory and virtue, and he says, okay, now whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. So number 3 is this: knowing God comes by understanding his word. Now here's what happens. In so many sermons, you reach a point where you always have at least one or two points that talks about the basics in the Christian life. And really, a lot of preaching is reminding and expounding different places as it comes up in normal conversation in the Scriptures. I would say, this isn't an earth-shaking point to this sermon. Every person in this room knows that knowing God comes by understanding his word, right? But in practice, do we do that? I like music. I've already told you at Nancy Gonet's celebration of life, the two songs that they chose to show in that video just moved your heart. Oh my. But it can be in our life that we look for emotional stimulation in place of growing understanding. Does that make sense? We look to be emotionally moved. And we will base whether or not it was good or bad or good or poor on how much we're emotionally stimulated. Just like, oh, I went to church today and I left. I could have charged hell with a sports gun. What did they talk about? Oh, we didn't do it. We just sang choruses. Nothing wrong with choruses. And as a matter of fact, there are some biblical truth in choruses. But notice this. Let's look at it again. Knowing God comes by understanding His Word. Look what Peter says again. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Boy, that is just packed. What's it talking about? God's promises. God's promises are used that we might, first of all, be partakers of the divine nature. Let's talk a little bit about salvation, okay? It's the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And then it moves on, and it's like this. Okay, now I am growing in the Word of God. I'm a partaker of this divine nature. I'm growing, becoming more like Christ. I'm beginning to think like Him. I'm beginning to act like Him. Sometimes it's a stark difference. You know, a person's lost, they're miserable. And we hear stories like that on Unshackled. You ever hear Unshackled radio show? Oh, yeah. But it's interesting when you see somebody get saved, how their attitudes change. I've been around people that are just mean and nasty, and they get saved, and all of a sudden you can tolerate. Now, I don't know if I told you this before, and I apologize if I have. When I was pastoring up at Bakerburg Community Church, we always had a big church picnic. The first year we did it, we called Sunday School Picnic. Half the people came. And I asked the other half, why don't you come? Why don't you go to Sunday School? So the next year we called it a church picnic. Then everybody came. So one year, we're having a church picnic, and Mike and Millie Dockstader is the name. And Mike comes to me, Millie comes to me, we're standing outside, all kinds of food there. They said, Pastor Dave, we invited our neighbor, and he came today, but we can't stand him. That's what you want to do. See, most people, if you have a bad neighbor, it's like, you want to just get him out of there. Not them. They invited him to church. Guess what? Fred got saved. And now he's a good neighbor. He didn't automatically become a good neighbor, but through Christ working in his life changed. And they saw the change in his life. And you know what? I used to sit on Bakerburg Community Church, and we always sat in the platform. Not that we have to do that here. I would sit there on the platform, and we'd be singing songs, and I'd be looking out over, and there I'd see Brad sitting over there, and I'd see Mike and Millie, and I'm thinking, man, I'll tell you what, God can do anything. Amen? God can do anything. Doesn't that excite you? It does me. Oh, man. And you know what? God's in the business of doing that. And how does He do that? He does it through His Word. These promises. Now, I want you to notice this. Included among the all things which God's power has given to promote a life of holiness are His exceedingly great and precious promises. Is that on your sheet there? Yep. Put that up there for us, Nigel. Next one. All right. You're doing good. Now, it is estimated that there are at least 30,000 promises in the Bible. John Bunyan said this. He said, the pathway to life is strewn so thickly with the promises of God that it is impossible to take one step without treading upon one of them. Now, what I've done, I've put on your sheet, just look at your sheet here for a moment. You don't have to, we're not going to go over all these in detail, or we'd be here for a whole lot longer than we should be this morning. But Psalm 119, just going to read them. But I have them here for you to use for further study. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way. This is one of my favorite verses. People say, Pastor, how in the world can I get my life in order? That's what that's saying, right? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? What's it say? Well, you got to come to this seminar I'm going to put on. No, watch this. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Why? God's word changes our life. Ezra 7:10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Have you prepared your heart today to seek the law of the Lord? Think about that. Have you done that? Have I done that? That's what Ezra did. And then one of the most familiar that we use all the time, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture. There's that word all again. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, That's good teaching, but watch this. None of us like reproof. Reproof's just a bad word, isn't it? What does reproof insinuate? I've done something wrong, right? Well, brother, I'm going to reprove you. Well, I've done something wrong. Oh, yeah, see, I got reproved all the time with Mom, and she did it with a wooden spoon. She was good. She was good with that wooden spoon. And so, but it says about reproof. Now watch this, for correction. We just struggle with this. We become, everything I do in my life, I do because I think it's the right way to do it, don't you? You're sitting there like, I don't know. Right? It's not 2:30 in the morning, I know you're awake. But isn't that the truth? The way we budget, the way we handle our money, the way we shop, the way we keep our homes, the way in which we landscape our homes, everything we do, the way that we work, everything. And that's just touching the high spots. Somebody tries to correct you. Did you ever do this? Don't you just love it when somebody corrects you? Even to the point where I pull in a parking lot, Karen, and say, why don't you park over there? I had my spot already picked out. And where I was going to park, that's the best spot and place to park. And, you know, I find that so hard to go, because the power steering goes out on the vehicle and everything. You just can't hardly turn. Right? Every once in a while, I lose my mind and I say, what's the difference? And I don't do that. Because I try to handle correction. Right? Yeah. Maybe tonight we'll take testimonies on that. Maybe tonight we'll take testimonies on that. Since I testify all morning, you can testify tonight. Okay. The counseling room is open. It says this, for correction, for instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be miserable and only doing stuff that he doesn't want to do. No, that the man of God may be perfect. That's talking about mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen? And then number four, these promises enable the believer to escape the corruptions in the world. Growing Christians. Growing Christians is about using understanding God's word to change us. Right? But it also, part of that change is to put off the negative aspect. And where it says, escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Because that's what it says. That's what the passage says here. That's the end of verse 4. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through the flesh. Do you think this is a corrupt world? Do you think this is a corrupt world? I get so tired of people saying, oh, we really got to pray. Not that we shouldn't pray. Oh, we really got to pray. I think we're losing our country. Folks, we've lost our country. And it's about time Christians wake up and realize that, first of all, we're supposed to keep ourselves unspotted from this world, not join in the chorus. And then we ought to take a completely different attitude. We ought to be praying for revival. Amen? Instead of walking around saying, oh, you know, these people, they're just so good. No, they're sinners. Now, we're going to have some babies born here in the ministry coming up. Okay? Now, don't do this. Don't walk in, see that baby, and say, isn't that just such a wonderful, wicked little sinner? You know? Years ago, you stood there and they had the window. Can you imagine standing there and saying, oh, that's my son. There's little Davy. He's a wicked little sinner. Isn't he just a cute little wicked sinner? I'm so glad for the grace of God. But, you know, as they grow up, they need to know Christ, do they not? That's right. That's right. Let's not lose our mission. See, God has promised all that we need to resist temptation. That's what he's talking about here. When temptations come, we claim the promises. They enable us to escape from the world's corruption. Then the positive side is that these same principles, we may be partakers of the divine nature. So we looked at it backwards. This takes place primarily at the time of conversion. Then as we live in the practical enjoyment of what God has promised, we become more and more conformed to His image. And this is what it talks about. You and I today are being conformed to the image. I want you to look at the last verse there. I have it on your sheet. I talked about this probably a couple months ago, but this explains that. God has promised that the more we think about Him, the more we will become like Him. That's 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We make this a reality. We make this verse a reality as long as the others here in 2 Peter, verses 3 and 4. We make that a reality when we read God's Word, when we study God's Word, when we meditate on who Christ is, and when we follow Him. And as we do this, the Holy Spirit changes us into His likeness from one degree of glory to another. I am in the process of learning. That's what I'm doing. You say, really? Yeah. 40 years old. Well, 40 years old in Christ. I've been saved for 40 years. I can't get by saying I'm 40 anymore. Okay? And you know what? I love it when I learn something. And when I learn something, it usually impacts my life. And then I change. But I, first of all, have to learn it. I can't not learn it. I can't get it the other way around. People say, well, just trust me and do it. But you know what happens? You'll do that, you'll want to conform to somebody else, and you'll always question it, and it'll never become yours. That's what scares us as our children grow up. They're at home, mom and dad go to church, mom and dad read their Bible, mom and dad don't fight like the drunks down the street do, mom and dad they see Christ in the home, and you know what happens a lot of times as our children grow up, it is our prayer that they make what they see theirs. And if they never make it theirs, guess what? They will exhibit their true nature. That scares us a lot of times, right? So here we are, we're grown. And it's a lifelong process. And as we introduce these things, I have one or two more messages on this, but I think I want to take a break and talk about Valentine's Day next week. I haven't talked about Valentine's Day for years, so I'm thinking about doing that. But I want to challenge you today. Are you becoming more like Him? Or is it this way? Have you adopted a schedule in your life that you have determined makes you spiritual? Well, spiritual people read their Bible. Okay, so I'm going to read my Bible. Spiritual people read a devotional, so I'm reading a devotional. Spiritual people pray, so you pray. But let me ask you something. Are these things, the understanding of God's Word, resulting in real change in your life? Because if it isn't, then here's what I'm saying, is you have created a standard in your life whereby you measure yourself spiritual, and God says His standard is how much I become like Christ. Because that's His goal, to conform you and me to the image of Christ. Amen? And what I just said earlier is not the same thing. Let's pray. Father,